like you done tonight when they were singing, you were shouting, then to come up and preach. That's hard to do. Because they... So I hope you don't do that tonight. But preaching's the biggest business in the world.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. I'm as bad as the three little boys in school. One was, Daddy was a poet writer, and the other wrote music. And the other was the Baptist preacher's little old boy. They was out arguing about what all they had. One little boy said, my daddy is the biggest thing in the world. Said he writes poetry. Just a few lines, makes them rhyme. Gets hundreds of dollars for doing it. The little boy said, wait a minute now. My daddy takes them little old words, puts music to them, and gets thousands of dollars. That little Baptist preacher's boy stood up and said, well, you boys are in bad shape. Said, when my daddy gets done preaching, it takes 10 men to carry the money down the aisle. So you see, this preaching business is all right. Yes, sirree. And I hope tonight, the preacher, I went up here, I wasn't asking him to let me have a service to preach. I was asking him to let me get out of preaching. I told him, I said, preacher, if you think this thing's at a good peak to close out, forget me. He said, I ain't forgetting you. He said, you're going to preach. Well, if the boss man says preach, you're going to preach. Because he's under the guidance of God. And if I listen to God, I got to listen to him while he's in authority. And if I make the biggest mess I ever made in my life, which I might do, I'm going to still preach. This year, sorry, I ain't going to cuss. Now be still. Just hold on. I have to get real mad to cuss. But I still know how. If you wouldn't be such a big liar about your sanctification, you'd own up to it too. Amen? Sure. I got hurt here a while back. I started to say something. The boy said, no. I said, turn me loose. I got a $10,000 word in my mouth about to come out. But listen tonight. I'm going to take a solemn subject tonight. I'm going to preach to you on stoplights on the road to hell. You say, why are you doing that? I don't know. I just been meditating today, praying today. Sonny always asks me. He never forgets to ask, preacher, what you going to give us tonight? And I said, I'm going to preach on stoplights on the road to hell. You say, well, I've heard that. You haven't heard me preach it. You just listen to me. I know Percy Ray preaches on red lights on the road to hell. I know that because you do. I preach for him a lot too, way back yonder. But I'm preaching tonight, and my scripture to back it up is in 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. 3rd chapter. And I'm just going to use one verse because I know you can read your Bible home if you'll do it. And you can read the whole chapter. Read the whole book, read what you want to, but I'm going to use one verse for my text tonight. I used two verses last night. It says in verse 9 of chapter 3, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. We are. But he said, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward. Now you hyper-Calvinists, listen to you little tulip guys. Total depravity. Baloney. He said he lighteth up every man that cometh into the world. Unconditional surrender. Ah, bull. Honey, God will convict every one of you, and if you'd come, he'd save you.
That's right.
He said you got to wait till that select time comes. The select time's right now. T-U-L. Limited atonement. Where'd you get that? My Bible said he died for the whole world.
Yeah. Hallelujah, Brother Lack.
Yes, he did. That's what he said. Limited atonement. Hogwash. You mean you don't believe in the 5 points of Calvin? I don't believe in every one of them. How's that to make you good and mad? Limited. Irresistible grace. In other words, God sends out a call to you and convicts you that you cannot turn down. There ain't one thing wrong with that. It ain't soul. A lot of them's in hell right now turned it down.
Oh, yeah.
That could have been saved.
Sure.
according to what the Bible said.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to what you said. I'm going to what the Bible said. He said, well, where'd I get this? That's what I've been wondering a long time. Where'd you get that? The perseverance of the saints. I don't believe that point either. I don't believe you profess persevere nothing. I believe it's God that perseveres you.
Yes.
What's that? Now what are you going to do with your little five-point Calvinist, you little sissy jaybird, you sick puny thing that ain't never studied your Bible? You ought to read your Bible. This book that I read about said the Lord is not willing that any. You say, what does that mean in the Greek? It says any. That's what it means in the Greek. Not any should perish. No one but the elect. Who makes the election? You need to study that point a little bit. You elect yourself. He makes it possible, but you're the one that says, I do. And if you don't say that I do, you hellbound. That's all there is to it. So you see, he says, the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Now you know what to mean. The word perish means you die and go to hell. That's what it means. And it said that all should come. Now, you know what that all means? It means A-double-L, all.
Amen.
That's what it means.
Yes, sir.
You're learning something, aren't you? Studying Greek tonight and Hebrew. You see what I mean? You say, oh, preacher, you need to go to school. I bet you I've been to school twice as much as anybody in here. I've been going to school for 53 years, and I'm still learning every day. Amen? Come on, give me some amen.
Yeah.
Got five pulling now. I'll shout a little bit. You say, do you shout? I'll shout at the drop of a hat. And if you turn your back, I'll drop the hat. I don't like a dead service, amen? Y'all was just doing my kind a while ago. I like that. I like to. Now, if you think Linda can sing, you'll let her fix your hamburger on the motor wagon. That's God. You'll find out what something is good. Amen. All right. Now, talking about my subject tonight, stoplights. God don't want you to go to hell. Now, you lost people. He told me a while ago, he said, preacher, God leads you. I'd like for you to preach to the lost. And I said, we've got some lost people here. I said, you didn't have to tell me that, Brother Eastep, but I appreciate it. But God already told me before I left the room. Asked Brother Sonny. He said, what's your subject? I said, stoplights on the road to hell. And God has put some stoplights not only to keep you people that's lost out of hell, but to keep you backsliders from getting into real trouble. Yes, sir. Have you ever stood around the backsliders, a lot of them, when they died, backslid, and hear their cry? You ought to do it sometime. I do it a lot. Oh, and people who hadn't lived for God and done people wrong, you take Brother Sonny back there, my sidekick, he would come in one day, was crying. And I said, what's the matter, you boy? He said, well, said, I just witnessed a terrible thing. Said, my grandmother just now died. I said, that's bad, but I said, she's getting old and everybody has to die. But his grandmother was going to let him have, will him everything she had, I reckon everything. And but she said he had to get out of White Plains Church and quit following me around, things like that. And he said, no, I reckon let's stay with Jesus. And she just cut it all off. But you know, when he come in my house that day crying, I said, what's the matter? He said, I just been over here and said, Granny just died. I said, well, everybody got to do that. I said, you know, she's not a young person no more. He said, but you ought to have been there, preacher. She cried. She died saying, get my feet out of hell. My feet's on fire. I believe God gives you a little taste of hell before you leave here sometimes. Did you know that? Yes, sir. He said, she's a crying. Oh, somebody, pull my feet out of the fire. And you know, you'd be surprised how many people I've been around said things like that. See, I've been around quite a few years. I'm going to stay around quite a few more years. The Lord don't come back.
Amen.
But you know what? I've listened to them make cries like that. Lord, help me. I was in the hospital sometime back, going down the hall. And one of my old buddies met me, and he said, preacher, I'm so glad to see you. Said, I got a buddy friend upstairs. Said, he was in a wreck in a truck that was on fire. And said, it burned him critically. They put him up there in the room and isolated him. They got the walls padded Said he's got all that corruption coming out of him. And said he slings it all over the walls. And said, nurses don't want to even go in there. And would you go in and talk to him about his soul? And of course, I'd done what most of you good preachers do. I said, sure, I will. So I went up, and they had their mask and all for me to put on, but I didn't put it on. I just put it aside. I want him to see me, and I want to see him. And they had him in on a board. Never so often they'd turn that board. And he would, his body had been to leak out that old pulse and stuff, and he'd sling it out on the wall. He had his face turned upward, and I looked down at him, and I said, sir, you in bad shape. He said, yes, I am. And he told me about how bad he was burned and everything. And I said, that's terrible. That's terrible. But I said to him, I said, listen, said, you need the Lord's help. He said, I know it. He said, would you pray for me? I said, yes, sir. I'm going to pray for you. But before I pray, I want to talk to you just a minute, if you'll let me. And I begin to tell him what you tell him, how to be saved. And that's the way I believe you're saved. I begin to tell him to ask God to forgive him and accept Christ as his Savior the best he knew how and leave it all to him and he'd save him. And so I said that to him, and I said, now before prayer, I'll talk to you just a minute. And I started talking like that, and I started to pray, and before I did, I was going to say, would you be willing right now, best you know how, surrender your life to Jesus? And I got to those words, and I said, sir, would you be willing? And he broke in on me. He said, my God, I can't tell daylight from dark. I'm in this room. It's dark all the time. I don't know whether it's Monday or Sunday. I don't know the days. I've been in here so long, since I wake up, I'm suffering so I can't stand it. And then I pass out again. Then I wake up again. He said, I just don't know. But I said, listen, would you be willing? And I was going to add the rest about being saved. He began to scream, and he said, preacher, I'd be willing to do anything to get out of this misery I'm in. He is just in there in a physical body. Yeah. And you keep on go to hell, and you'd be willing to do anything to get out of there. Right. But you're not going to get out. There's no conference in hell. There's no ending to hell. It just keeps on going. Now, if you want to trade your little old sinful life for a place like that, now, it's bad to lose your health. I've been around people. I talked to the woman the other day, 97 years old, losing her health. It's bad to lose your power with God. Now, I don't have as much power maybe as you think I ought to have, but I know one thing. I've got a little power with God. Wouldn't take nothing for it. A little power with God. I have people call me long distance, said, would you just pray for me? Just pray for me. It's bad to lose your power with God. It's bad to lose your profession. I mean, your possessions. I stood for a backslidden preacher not long ago. His house had burned to the ground. There wasn't anything left, just ashes. He stood there and cried. Big tears run down his face. And he said, you know, everything that I ever owned was in that house. Friend, that's a sad condition. How'd you like to comfort somebody like that? It's sad to lose your possessions. It's a sad thing. Then it's sad, my friend, to lose your freedom. You can so insist on sin till you lose your freedom. I've had them die holding their hands in the lapel of my coat saying, pray for me, help me, I'm dying, and I can't get loose from these sins. But you know, if he'd have started in time, before God said it's too late, he could have got rid of it. He tried to crawl over to the house across the yard and get him another drink, but he died on the way. He dropped dead there in the yard. I preached the funeral, and the mother stood over the coffin crying. She's weeping her heart out. About 7 little children, the Southern family, Sonny. They all gathered around the casket and I almost turned the coffin over. And the mother come up, put her arm on my shoulder and said, preacher, can you give me, tell me something. Can you give me any hope for him? Said, we know his condition. Know how he died. And you know what God gave me? I said, lady, the Bible said, will not the judge of this earth do right? I said, he'll not get any more hell than he deserves. He won't be let off any for good behavior, but God will do just exactly right. How would you like to pay for your sins tonight? Oh, Lord, some of you won't confess them, but the Bible said it'd be good you did. The Bible said it'd be good you get rid of them. Yes, sir, because you're going to have to go to hell. I told Brother Sonny today, I said, recopy these sins. I wrote them down while I was riding in the car, going down the road, and I preached that night at Blue High Point, and I began to catalog their sins. And I think Brother Sonny said I had 100 and some sins wrote down. Most of you here, no doubt in my mind, have committed all of those sins, or most of those sins. Well, friend, listen, you're going to have to go to hell because of that. Sin will put you in hell. The only way you can get out is get your sin debt paid. Get rid of the thing. And there ain't but one way to do it. There's just one way to do it. And listen to me tonight. And hear me good. Hell's a terrible place. Now, you think I'm putting on because I'm crying a little bit. But see, I don't even like to say it, brother. But I was a wicked man. You don't run pool rooms and have maybe two at a time, and cafes with beer and liquor and all that stuff. You don't run them and be innocent and clean. And I don't even talk about it. Tonight, I give both these arms. I give both these eyes. I give both my legs to some of the things that I did. I'd have never done. But praise God, it won't be hell to get me. Somebody had said the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. And I believe it tonight. And I thank God for it. Hell, I'm glad I'm not going there. Hell's a place of hate. Friend, I don't want to go to hell. I wouldn't want to go because, brother, I see enough hate here. Don't you see enough hatred? I've been around the world, most of these countries. I've been across the world, Australia, New Guinea. I've been to Holy Land a number of times, helping make them famous, burning hell, things like that. And I've seen a lot of hate. We'd go into some of those part communist country, and they'd just throw our money back in our face. I don't want that stuff. Hate, just old hate. Talk just as sweet as you wanted to, but they still hate. I'm so glad tonight, thank God, I'm going to a world where there won't be no hate like that. Amen. No, hell's a wicked place. Wicked. Man, I see sin on the rampage around here. How wicked. Oh, my God, how wicked it is. Just to think you had to live in that forever. If you go to hell, it's going to be wicked forever. And he that is filthy, let him be filthier still. But that's hell for you. And I'm glad, friends, tonight that I'm not going to hell. Hell's not only a wicked place, hell is a painful place. I just told you a while ago about the man burned in the hospital. And I told him about how he could be saved, and wouldn't he like to have known by the Word of God that he's a child of God. And he said, I'd do anything. I'd do anything to get out of this mess I'm in. If you ever get to hell, and some of you are going to get there pretty quick, you'd say the same thing about hell. I'd do anything to get out of this painful, wicked place. It's a filthy place. I've been in a lot of filth around the world. I've been over to Chinatown in India, where they fed the babies out there and drowned them to their gods. Went down the streets and it smelt so bad you couldn't hardly stand it. I've seen them where they just used the outdoor right on the streets for their toilet, take their bath, unplug the fire plug and let the water squirt out and take their clothes off and take a bath right there. Just filthy. Go in the cafe and it'd stink. And they lived in that. I'd go to the huts where they lived in them places. I never seen such filth and mess. I was in New Guinea, and that was a nasty place. Brother John Gray's going back, and he's going over to the country, they call it the swamp country, where no white man's never been. No missionaries has never been. I told Brother Green, I got one more trip we've got to make. When I get things straightened out, when John Gray and them gets over there, me and you are going over there. He said, all right, we'll go if you want to. I said, yeah. That's what I want to do. I want to go over there. But my goodness, that's an awful place. That's an awful place. I stood and watched them. I got off the plane there in New Guinea airport, and I see a woman sitting over with a little boy's head in her lap. And I'm pretty inquisitive. I may look mean and sit around pretty ugly, but I got my eyes open, and I was watching. And so the missionary walked up, Brother Miller, and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking at that woman right there. I want to ask you, what's she doing? He said, you're right, just well tell you. She said, she's picking the lice off that boy's head and eating them. You say, well, do they do that? All the time. I'd preach in a service, and the crowd in this row would be picking the lice off the head in that row, and that row back there would be picking the lice off of this row. You'll say, preacher, you're lying. I'll tell you I can prove every word of it. Prove every word of it. You believe Brother Green? He is right there with me. And I'd name you seven others was. Awfulest mess you've ever seen in your life. I could tell you things that just make you vomit almost sitting there. But you see, hell is a wicked place. Hell's a sinful place. And hell is a place where I'm glad I'm not going. It's a place of no comfort. You look forward, there's no comfort. In the presence, there's no comfort. And then, my friends, throughout eternity, there's no comfort. You want to go to a place like that when God done paved the way, fixed the way, and begging you and pleading and crying with you to go to heaven, you won't do it? What's the matter with you, man? Listen, brother, if I had to get on my knees and crawl back home to get to heaven, and that was the way and I knew it, I'd start crawling tonight. I'm glad I'm not going to heaven. Hell, you ought to be glad you're not going to hell. Hell's a place of a tormenting conscience. I go to places a lot of times where they went crazy. To crazy they'd commit suicide. I've tried to comfort them and help them. I know a man come to me one night. He made a bright profession. He was one of your backsliders that wouldn't pay no attention to what you said. But he got his mind on the dollar and he went to make a little more money. He said, I got to have it. And said, I said, Bobby, you're too young in the Lord. I said, stay around here and feed on the Word of God. He said, no, I got to go. And he went. But he done like a lot of them. He messed up. He come back. He's back on his liquor, alcoholic. And he done some things. He got in trouble. And they arrested him. He had to go to the courthouse on Monday. He called me up out to the car on Sunday night, I believe it was. And he said, preacher, I want to talk to you. He said, I'm just not going to court. See, he had a convicting conscience. Knew everybody knew what a bright profession he made, like some of you. You told up how you love God, and you'd go through water and hell and everything else for him. Comes a shower, sun, the morning, you lay in the bed.
Yeah.
You are a first-class, genuine, 10-carat hypocrite. That's what you are. You're welcome. No charge for that. No charge for that. You said, you won't call me one, try me and see if I will. You said, I'll kill you. My God might kill you before you kill me. He has done it before, and he could do it again. He could do it again. That boy said, I'm not going to court in the morning. I said, you better go on over there and face the thing. I'm not going. He said, I'm going to go home and take my gun and blow my brains out. I said, no, you ain't going to do that, Bobby. You're going to just blow a big hole in your head. You ain't got no brains. You wouldn't talk like that. But he went home, and the next morning, Mays Jackson, some of you, I know some of you know him, was preaching for me, and they called me from the platform and said, preacher, come quickly. Said, Bobby got out on the front porch in front of his wife and about four children, his mother and daddy, and took a pistol and stuck it to his temple and pulled the trigger. Now, I want you to know he was a tither. I want you to know he was a Bible carrier. But he got careless, see, just like some of you getting careless now. You ain't reached that stage yet, but honey, you're on that road. You better take care of it tonight. The reason I preach on hell, because I believe a backsliding is just the next thing to going to hell. Next thing to going to hell. And I'll tell you tonight, if your heart's just a little bit cold, you better treat it tonight before it becomes malignant. And you can't get cured. But listen to me. If you'd buried as many as I had, and if you tried to help as many dying as I have, you'd believe something of what I'm saying. We're in serious times, folks. That boy killed his monuments in my cemetery. If you come down after the camp meeting, you can step out there 20 steps from the door and see his grave, monument, and his picture that's in it. They put his picture in it. You know what he done? He just got a little cold, and he decided, well, one drink more wouldn't hurt anything. But you see, you can't get by. Now, some of you getting by. But the thing about it, he said, if I don't chasten you, you're not my young. And if God ain't whooping you because you got cold, won't do anything about it, you're just not saved. Now, I didn't say that. God said that.
Amen.
Said, you're a bastard and not a child. You know what that means? That means God is not your father.
Amen.
So I'll tell you right now, if I was backslid, I'd get right because I'd pray maybe I wasn't saved.
Amen.
And I'd go to hell, a place of hate, a place of pain. I've watched people suffer. I've had them to ask me to come to ask me to help her mother die. She's dying. Would you come? And would you hold her hand? Would you do something? Would you try to help her die? Do that a few times. You might change your mind about living for God.
Yes.
Just might do it. Just might do it. Well, anyhow, it's a place of hating, a place of filth. It's a place where you don't never come back. Never come back from. Never come back. And so tonight, God don't want you to go to hell. You say, well, now you believe that. I believe it as much as I'm living. God don't want you to go to hell. He just don't want you to go to hell. So how do you know He don't want you to go to hell? He gave you the Bible, didn't He? You got the Word of God. You ever thank God for His Word? That Bible warns you page after page. You better get right. You better repent and believe or you'll die and go to hell. Then you've got tracks. God let man make tracks. I see them everywhere. I saw them up here. Well, I had a woman in my church, about the only woman that had anything worthwhile when I went there as pastor 42 years ago. And you know how she got saved? Brother, she was going down the road from the mailbox. And somebody had dropped a track. It rained on it. But she didn't hardly know what tracks was. So Dulcie reached down and got the track, turned it over and read it. And got saved reading the track. So you're not wasting your time. You don't know what God might do. So who put that track there? I believe God put that track there. I believe God has put another stoplight in front of you to keep you out of hell. Yes, sir. And the two, the prayers of godly people. That's a blockade on the road to hell.
Yes, sir.
Some of you hadn't had some loved ones praying for you, you'd have been in hell a long time ago.
Amen.
Even you backsliders would have been gone. Backsliders. I know my brother backslid on God. He lost a fortune. Couldn't tell him nothing. I got out of the business, told him, you take it. God's going to beat you to death, and I don't want to be no part of it. And sure enough, he lost his home. He lost his possessions. He lost his wife. He lost everything. Then he went in and read to the government for thousands of dollars and went down the country just trying to peddle chairs for a living. And every time my mother, God bless her heart, you know, she loved all of us, but most of the time when they got one real mean, they love him the best. She loved Alton. And every time she'd get around me, we'd start to pray. Mom would say, don't forget Alton. Everybody else called him Al, but she called him Alton and said, don't forget Alton. Said, you know what kind of shape he's in? Said, don't forget him. Pray for him. And she'd always pray for Alton. She kept on praying. And you know what I said to the family? I said, if something happens to Mom, Alton will get out of this world right quick. My mother died. When my mother died, Alton died. You know what kept him there? Them prayers was holding back God's hand. He said, I don't believe that. Well, it happened anyhow. Well, you believe it or not. If some of you tonight that's cold and hard, backslid on God, won't walk with God, if somebody that loved you would stop praying, that's praying for you now, God would snap you out like a light. You're living on the prayers maybe of some saint.
Yes,
right now, that's what He does. That's why He tells us to pray for them, see? Pray for them. And then too, there's the church. Now I know all the churches are not right. The devil puts up two every time God gets one of them, all right? He's got the Jehovah Witness on this corner, and the Mormons on that corner. And he's got the Seventh-day Disadvantage on that corner, and something else on that corner. But they're all, I'll tell you where they're. They say, well, if you're not saved, any of them will be better than nothing. He wouldn't do it.
Right.
He wouldn't do it.
Right.
If every one of them damnable devil houses, chicken houses, would burn down tonight, it'd be the best blessing it's ever been.
Amen.
They slapped up a morning church less than a half a mile, my church. I said, God, if you could please you burn that thing down.
Amen.
And he might tell me to put legs on my prayers. I don't know.
Yeah.
See, I've had a little experience of that junk. I've had a little experience of that.
Yeah.
About the worst doctrine that I've ever bumped into in my life because it's so religious, you know. They'll tithe to their church. They're, a lot of them is good to their families, but they still take them to hell with them if they'd listen to them. Amen? So you see, these churches are not all like that. Thank God there's some good churches. You've got a, I believe you've got a good church here. I believe you've got a good pastor. I believe you ought to stand by. I believe you ought to fight for it if you had to do it. You say, well, I ain't got that kind of confidence. Why in the devil don't you get out of here then?
Yeah.
Why don't you go find one you have got some confidence in? Sonny tells them every once in a while, say, look out now. Don't say nothing about my pastor, because I'll whoop you.
Yeah.
And he means I'll whoop you too. See, he stood by me. He said, way back years ago, he can tell you, I don't know. Me and my wife out doing what we most always done, trying to win souls, keep them out of hell while people cussed us. Went to his daddy house, and him and Linda was out in the yard playing, I think. Best I remember. I can't remember. You don't remember so good this detail by detail after 50 years, do you? 40? You don't. Really, you don't. But I know there's out there, and I said, Joel, we got to do something to get these kids in church. Dad and Mama didn't go. Said, we got to do something to get them in church. And they were batting bumblebees. Now, down there, we have a lot of bumblebees. And we get out there when there's out in the summertime and suckling the flowers and things, and we'd get us a stick and try to bat them down, fight the bumblebees, have a lot of fun. And that's that thing backfires and sits down on you, and you don't have so much fun. But we got out there, and we got to batting around with the bumblebees. We played with Sonny and Linda. My wife, she really worked with the children. She really loved them. And I think she gave maybe Sonny some blow gum. And he chewed it and went to church. Now you get up to some of you little jackass preachers and preach against blowgun. You better not preach against round Sonny. You say, how in the devil you think I got in? Somebody give me a piece of chewing gum. Now I know it's nasty when it gets on the floor, but I know them Linda and Sonny thought it tasted mighty good when we said, like, we'd like for you to come to church. And he told everybody, said, I'm going over there. I said, man, they'll give you some chewing gum. Some chewing gum. That chewing gum cost him his life. His sinful life. You got to stay
there.
Same way with Linda. And they got to working on it. People, you say, well, I just can't go for that. I know how many you've won. You ain't went for too many. No how. Had you. Be honest. I've had a little success. I just closed a meeting not long ago down below Archdale. And I preached. I preached hard. Went down there. And the preacher called me and said, I know you're busy. And I know it's Christmas time. It's week before Christmas. But preacher, maybe, if you just come down here and preach a few nights, my people need it so bad. And preacher, I know you can get the job done. So would you come down here? I said, well, talking like that, I might come. He said, if you can't come all week, just come for one night. I said, since you talk like that, I'll come down and preach all week. So I went down to his church, and he had split and resplit and split and resplit, and he didn't have nobody, hardly. But what few was left, there was as carnal as a devil. And I was half mad anyhow, and I get half mad, I'd run all you all off. You think Sonny tough? Why, he's tender, boy. I got up, and the first thing I looked over on the piano stool, and there sat a man, boy with long hair down here. Now, you know what I think about that stupid, lousy mess? I know what the Bible says about it. And I was mad anyway, and I said, well, the first thing we need to do to have revival is go to the barbershop and get a haircut. Look right straight at him. I lost him. But the saddest thing about it, I found out after service, it was the preacher's son. I still mean it. Next night, the quartet got up to sing. They sung well. But somehow, they didn't know how to put on makeup. Now, I never had put none on, but I could beat that. I could paint a barn. And I told them, I said, what you girls need to do, and it was nice looking, they just had the stuff smeared all over them, mixed up with their snuff and everything else. And I said, what you need to do is go to the beauty shop and let them teach you how to put on your makeup.
Yeah.
Well, you know what happened. I lost that crowd. They quit. And so I come out about the next night, all the executives, deacons and ex-deacons and elders and everything else, all ganged around the front to greet the visitors coming and checking. And they all had lit up. They were all smoking, blowing the smoke up. So when I got in the pulpit, I said, well, Another thing to help this revival, I believe we're going to have a good service tonight. See you out there in the yard, offered up your incense, your sacrifice.
Yeah.
Best God lost that crowd, too. But you know what? God took hold of that thing. You preachers don't mind preaching against sin. Lord will help you out. I've been living a good while. In fact, the living Jesus come. And I have my help back nothing. You always arguing about your television, right and wrong, A and B and C and all that. Honey, I ain't never had one. I never could see any difference between that and that stinking low-down moving picture show that I'd go in every one I got a chance to before I say. And they come to me, when you going to get yours? I said, well, I don't see no difference in that and that. And I ain't changed my mind one bit. The only thing about the one now is a lot worse.
Amen.
You're welcome. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
They said, well, you won't get no place to preach. I preached that in revival. They got to repenting. And the last account, you can ask Brother Smith, he said, I'm glad I got him with me. He heard him say it. He come up and said, preacher, just want to give you a report on revival. We've been 325, got saved. Didn't have about 65 people in his church. And then he let some of these second-handed, warped-legged preachers come in and split his crowd. And took another, you know, they'll swarm on you. Old Queen Bee will get to you and go down the road and start work. And they took his people, about half of them. And I went down. He asked me to come back. And I went back, and law, he hadn't growed. He went back the other way. And I said, what's the matter around here? I said, you had 325 saved, and you had about 60. I said, where's them people at? He said, preacher, I had a preacher in here. He left. I said, yeah, I know what happened. You had a church split, what you had. He said, yeah, that's what it was. And they went over. They was building a new church, and they finally just turned it into a clubhouse or something. And I said, I'm going to preach again. And this time, that was just a few weeks ago, and at the last count they gave me, there had been 39 people who got saved and baptized. You say, well, that ain't nothing. Stand up and tell me how many you have saved in your meetings. Come on now, don't look at me like a wild-eyed goose. You're ashamed of it. You know, a lot of preachers won't give no invitation, you know why? They know there ain't nobody coming. They just preach, I just leave it all up to the Lord. We ought to have left it all up to the Lord to start with. That's God and let somebody else preach what you ought to do. Amen, amen, Lackey, that's all right. That's good preaching if you are doing it, amen. You'll get over it by morning. Now then, let me say this. There's the church. There's the testimony of a friend. Wasn't it George Truett that said he took his little old buddy to church in revival? And the next night he didn't show up. George went to the kid's house and asked his parents. Said, oh, didn't you hear he got real sick? Says, he's got pneumonia. He may not live. And George went back and said, would you let me set up with him tonight? They said, well, if you want to. And he said long about that time the boy kind of got out of his head and he began to talk. And he leaned over to hear what he's saying. See, George tried to get him to go down the aisle and accept Christ. And all he would say when George would talk to him, he'd say, you're right, George. I need to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. But not tonight, George. Not tonight. He leaned over to hear what he was saying. Boys are just about gone. And he was saying, not tonight. Procrastination is a tool that sends more people to hell. They don't mean to go to hell. They don't mean to live wicked. But you just keep putting it off. Keep putting it off. I hope tonight you'll change your mind. I hope tonight that you'll just make up your mind that you're going to go to Jesus and trust Him. And if you backslid, you better listen to me. I wish I had time. I wish you had the patience. I'd like to give you a list of people I saw God take out of this world after they backslid. I mean, they just got out of the church. They didn't go kill nobody. They didn't go drink a lot of liquor. But you just quit serving God. And God said, all right, I'll take you out. I'll take you out. And He took them out over and over and over again. But I'm saying tonight, and I'm cutting it just as short as I know how. You're looking at an old boy tonight. He's sure glad he got saved. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I see enough wickedness here. I see enough hate here. And as I told you last night, and I started to preach part two of it, the nakedness that's ruined this country. You know where I saw people living a lot better than you all and dress nicer? Right over yonder in the heathen part of Japan. That's the truth. And you all, I can't see how you can know the Bible, know what God says about all this sin of wickedness, and continue on. It just keeps on. You're just daring God, just mocking God. But I'm going to say this. There's some other things God's got. testimony of your friends, the prayers of God's people to keep you. Them are stoplights on the road to hell for you. You got somebody praying for you tonight to get saved? Don't you get mad at them. That's a stoplight on the road to hell for you. You better pay attention to it. You better listen to it. I know. Then there's another one I got to mention. I could go on for another 2 hours, but listen, the preaching of the gospel. That's, you know, I told Brother John Gray, I said, when you get over there in that swamp country in New Guinea, me and Green's done talked it over, I said, I want us to go over there. I want to go in that place where no white man's ever been, where no missionaries has ever been, and preach Christ. I said, I'll go with you. We'll go over there. He said, they had 25-foot alligators. I said, all right, I'll saddle one of them and ride the thing. If God's on your side, you can get awful careless about these. Don't you know that's the truth? Sure you can. I went to places that they'll shoot you if you go in there. I said, let's go get shot. Well, what's the matter? You're going to a better place. Amen? I don't want the devil to kill me, but God can kill me anytime he wants to. That'll be okay. Now then, I start to tell you the gospel. You know what God put in front of me? He put a blind, almost a crippled blind boy, a crippled boy. He used that as a stoplight on the road to hell for me. And I've told you, and I don't want to tell you a lot about that. I'm ashamed of it. I told you I'd give both arms, both eyes, and both legs. Things I hadn't done, but they're under blood. But I was wicked. I was wicked. This boy, I was in the store putting up some stuff in the show, and I'm forgetting how what I was doing exactly. But this old boy'd come in there. He'd start talking to me. He'd had a stroke, and he walked all crippled up. I don't know why, but crippled people's always had a way of touching my heart. I may bark like a wild man, but I got a heart, whether you believe it or not. I cry over sinners. When he told me we had lost people here tonight, my heart began to break. Oh, my God, if he just let me win one of them, it'd be worth all the trips. And I had a rough trip of two. If you don't believe it, you get on that thing I come up here on, that there road thing, whatever it is. What is it? Motorhome. And go back. Drive 10 hours like we did coming up here, 9 or 10 hours. And then when I go back, I got to preach morning, just trying to get there before it's too late. I'm supposed to be there about 8 o'clock. You'll say, preacher, you'll kill yourself. Not till God gets ready, honey. No, 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 no. I'm that much hard-shell Baptist, brother. You stand the will of God, can't nobody bother you, see. But that old boy'd come down there, and he'd come put his arm around my shoulder. Had a revival out there at the church. Wasn't no further than twice from here to Crossroad, you know, a block or so away. He said, we're having revival. Would you come out and be my visitor? Man, I didn't know what a revival was. I didn't know what revivals was. Didn't know what they're doing with them. And he said, would you come and be my visitor? Well, you know, I had a tender heart. I thought I'd make the boy feel good. And I said, Bill, old boy, I'll come for you. I'll do it. He said, will you come tonight? I said, yes, sir, Billy. I'll be right there. But I was lying like a dog. I had no intentions of going. You ever done that? Stop acting like angels now. Tell me some of the things you done before you got saved. I wanted to make him feel good. I thought he'd forget it by the next day. And laws of me, the next day come, I looked up that little old country, dirt, clay road, and I seen old cripple Bill coming. He was hopping along, dragging his body. He'd come over there to where I was working on the showcase or something, put his arm around me. He said, Carl, you disappointed me last night. I said, what do you mean I disappointed you? He said, well, you told me for sure you was coming to church. Well, by that time I'd made up my mind. No use to keep the old boy in darkness anymore. He didn't know my past life. And I said, Bill, you don't know me. You don't know what I've been. You don't know what my life's been. And I'm going to tell you, I've been a dirty, dirty rot dog. I've run pool rooms and gambled, and began to pour it out to him. He began to cry. And he said, Christ died for sinners. I said, now wait a minute, let's get this straight. You mean to tell me after all I've done, after all I've been, that if I'd go out there and accept Christ, he'd save me? He said, I mean it with all my heart, preacher. Carl, he called me Carl. I wasn't no preacher then. And so that night I went to church. He got me, boy. I went to church that night, and I stood in the pew, and the man started to give invitation. I just knew somebody had been whispering in his ear. But preachers say things, you know, when the Holy Spirit tells them. And he said, there's a young man in here. God wants to save him right now. And if he don't come down here and get on his knees, I'm coming back there and get him. I said, uh-oh, I done been caught now. And I said, man, kind, here I am standing here like this, and I'm about to, my kidney's about to act, and I was wanting to go to the toilet. I said, I can't go. I argued with the Lord. I said, he said, get down that aisle, boy. And, you know, I started, and glory to God, I took one step, and if he hadn't cleared the aisle, I'd have run over 12, getting out. When I went down there and lay down, I wasn't looking for nowhere to kneel. I wanted somewhere to lay down, tell God what I needed. I got down there and got to praying and weeping and crying, and I confessed my sins. A lot of you just say, Lord, I've sinned. You didn't tell them what there was, did you? I was naming them, boy, and they was listening back there. I said, Lord, I've done this, I've done that, done the other. It's loud and crying. And kept praying, nothing didn't happen. Nothing didn't happen. And then I said, well, just like I thought, God ain't going to save me. I've been too mean. I knew it. And I knelt there at the altar, and while I was kneeling, I felt something on my shoulder, and I looked around, it was my wife. And my wife was a clean woman. I've never heard her use a slang word like dang or dogged or dadgummit, let alone cursing, anything like that. Never heard of one. Never smoked. Never went to dance. Oh, she's clean. Morally speaking, she was clean. So she was on, and she belonged to the Methodist Church. And I looked over and saw her on my arm. I said, what are you doing down here? She said, I'm getting saved just like you are. I said, good. But I said, he ain't saving me. I said, I've been too bad, Jewel. I said, all that I've done, I knew he wouldn't. I thought, bless God, God would step out on the throne and say, lackey, your sins are forgiven. But he didn't do that. He just didn't. I know some of you lied like that, but it ain't so no how. Didn't do it. He speaks to you through the Word. But I hadn't learned that yet. But anyhow, I stayed there on my knees. But I said, there ain't no use. I just will go back to my seat. And about that time, that cripple boy back in the corner, when I was standing under the conviction at the invitation, I looked over my shoulder and I saw him standing back in the corner. Nobody didn't tell me what he was doing, but I knew what he was doing. He was praying for me. He was praying for me. And I was on my knees there, and his brother, who was a Sunday school teacher, he was working there at the altar, and he come crawling up by my side. I know a lot of these preachers get up and condemn you for saying, giving them Romans 10:9-10. You stay off that road, bless God, that's the one I was on. And he come crawling over beside me, and he said, are you having trouble, son? I said, well, ain't now, I done give it up. He said, why? I said, God ain't going to save me. I said, I've been too mean. I've been too ungodly. I ain't fit for nothing but hell, and I know it. And he said, well, maybe you don't understand it. And he took his Bible. He turned to Romans 10:9-10. He read it to me. If you confess with your mouth, and I like to put a little Greek in there, make you think I'm educated, that Jesus is your Lord. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. I don't know how you King James read. I know it better than you do. Jesus is your Lord. And I read that. He said, you read? And I said, well, what have I got to do to get saved? He said, are you reading it? Well, it says here, if I confess with my mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, believe my heart, rose in my death, thou shalt be saved. He said, I ain't saying a word. I'm just letting you read the Bible. I said, is that what I got to do to get saved? Well, he said, what does it say? I said, well, man, I'll do that right now. And I just got up and I said, folks, I'm going to tell y'all right now. And I didn't get up like y'all do and let somebody tell it for me. I got this, folks, I'm going to tell you right now. I just now, best I know how, let my Lord have my life. And if I live or die, sink and go to hell, I'm going to trust him. Going to live for him. And you know what he done? Felt like he rolled a bale of cotton off my back. Because he said, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, and believe in your heart. And I said, I believe it in my heart. I've always believed in God. I used to go to the graves, and they'd be burying somebody, and they'd have them old pine boxes in, they'd go to cover them up. You stood around and watched them cover them. Now they're decorated with flowers and all, but they'd throw them old shovelfuls of dirt clod down in an old pine box. Now he'd go boom, boom, and I'd just shiver. One day they're going to throw dirt in my face, and I'm going straight to hell. I'd go to bed that evening, lay down in the bed. And that night, I could feel myself laying down in that box, throwing dirt on my face. And I was going to hell. But then after he read that to me, I stood up and I said, I confess right now, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I believe he rose from the dead. Live, die, sink, or swim. Here's my life. He didn't want me to do that. He wasn't willing to do it. You say, what happened? I got saved. Preacher come up and he knew I couldn't preach. I didn't know John 3:16. He said, now I want you to conduct service next Wednesday night. My God, I said. I told him what I'd do, anything he told me to do, and he'd tell me to go preach the next Wednesday. And I said, man, I don't know. He said, I don't care what you say. You just get up. They know you. They know what you've been. You just get up there and tell what you did tonight that you got saved. I said, I'd be glad to do it. Then I got up, and I wanted to be a smart preacher, so I sung them. I played guitar and then sang. If you don't like my preacher, you sure wouldn't like my playing and singing, so we won't bother with that. But anyhow, I got over there and I read the scripture in Revelation. If you don't do certain things, you lose your salvation. It does say that. Now, don't mind you Baptists, wake up. You need to study after Ruckman a little bit. You'll find out that works is connected with salvation. I ain't going to get in no fuss with you people. You done fussed enough tonight. As God, we'll leave that all. But I will say this tonight. I got up and I said, now, a lot of you people, I know you. I've done business with you. And I know you. And I know you in church. And I know you come. But I also know you live. And some of you people don't repent, you're going to get lost again and go straight to hell. Don't you forget that. Well, I was doing some good preaching on things. That wasn't so. A lot of you do a lot of preaching that wasn't so. But see, I hadn't been saved about 10 days. I've been preaching ever since. Just tell them what God done for me and reach them the Bible. Just about every time somebody gets saved. Well, you can't beat that, can you? Then there's my wife, stood by me like a rock. I held her hand while she died just a little while back. And she said, preacher, all I want, somebody's got to look after you. You can't even find your britches when you get up in the morning. And she said, I want you to be happy. All I care is that you are happy. Well, I'm happy. Because I know according to these women that know the Bible, I mean, these Bible men, I know it ain't going to be long. The Lord's coming. He's right at the door. And I'm going to be with my wife again. Yes, sir. My wife loved me. I believe any wife ever loved a husband. I believe she laid down and died for me in a minute. One of the biggest soul winners my people here. No, I'm telling the truth. She's one of the greatest soul winners in our country. Put in a hospital, she'd go in the doctors and nurses to the Lord. And I never did pray for my wife to leave her here after she'd been sick. We prayed her out of bed. And one time, the last time they cut her plumb across her back, I asked the doctor, went in. He's supposed to be a Christian man. And I said, how you think my wife's going to make it? She's going to be all right. He said, don't ask me nothing. I pronounced her dead 4 times, and she gets up and walks out. I ain't going to say a word. And he's a Sunday school teacher in the First Baptist Church. He wrote the nicest letter, wrote 2, I think. Said, my wife had the greatest faith of anybody that had ever been in that hospital. A lot of people have been through that hospital. But what I started to say, when the last shot's fired, when the Lord comes over the hill, then we'll be with our loved ones. You think I'm going to miss that? I want to see that city 1,500 miles square. I want to see that city where if everybody got saved since the beginning of time was saved, 30 billion of them, if every one of them people was saved and went to heaven, this engineer, Wilbur Smith, tells you about, he said that, brother, they get to heaven, they'd all have 39 miles of elbow room. Plenty of room up there. Plenty of room. 1,500 miles high. 28,000 stories high. I want to see that place. Amen. Wouldn't you want to go there? I'll tell you why some of you don't want to go there tonight. You don't believe it. You don't believe it, but I believe it. Amen. I believe it. And if he needed more room, he'd just blow a few more bubbles out and turn them into more planets and go right on. He ain't crowded for room. But thank God he's got room for those that'll accept his son. Won't you do it tonight? And you that's backslid, so you won't be ashamed. So you won't have to commit the sin unto death and God just take you out of this world. Why don't you come tonight and get on your knees and mean business with God? Why don't you do it? We're going to sing. And I want you to mind the Lord. Trust Him tonight. Receive Him as your Savior up in that beautiful city, walls of jasper. No more sorrow. I see so much sorrow. We've got a lady in our church been almost dying now for 3 months. She's got a tumor going up to her brain. They said we doubt if you could go through it, but she wanted to do it, and she's living yet. She worked for John Linda back there. And you see, there won't be no sickness. No more crate on the doorknob. No more pain. No more labor and toil. Some of you people beat your debts. You ought to be glad of that, because you won't pay your bill. If I had an unpardoned sin to add to the Bible, I'd put the one, these crooks won't pay the bill and join the church. I believe a Christian will pay their bill. Now, ain't nobody shouting me down on this, but that's got so in him, just so in him. God will make it possible that you can do it. I've had to go through some hard places, but if I owe a dime in the world, it's to anybody. I don't know it tonight. You say, well, it ain't nothing. Can you say that? Can you say that? If you can't, you ought to get right with God tonight. You backsliders, they ain't been trying to win souls. You better come up here and say, Lord, I'm going to start tonight. I'm going to start tonight. Why don't you make your way to stay out of hell right now?
Amen.
Why don't you do it right now? I don't mean after a while. You'll never regret it.
Amen.
I've regretted a lot of things that I've done. But I've never regretted that night in that little old Baptist church that I got on my knees and said, God, I'm a sinner. I want you to save me. He didn't save me then, but when they give me the word, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is your Lord. Live in your heart, He rose from the dead. Thy shall be saved. Thank God. I'm saved now. I'm not going to hell. Hope you're not. And I hope you're one of you that's cold. You're backslid. Just any day God can pluck you off. Just pluck you off. I wouldn't do it. I'd fill that old altar up and say, Lord, I do. And Linda, I want you to come down here and sing for me. That song you sung last night. What is it?